Hi everyone, Mark here, and welcome to the Rock and Roll Content Show, the show that helps you make more creative and compelling digital content inspired by some of the greatest music, artists, and moments in rock and roll history. Today I've got a special episode for you, meaning I'm still kind of traveling and haven't had the time to produce a full episode, so this is another remixed episode that's probably new to you. If you'll remember back in episode 3, I talked about the role of artificial intelligence in digital and content marketing. If you don't remember, maybe go back and listen to that episode. Today, since I'm still in the midst of my travels, I thought I'd revisit another past episode of this podcast's predecessor, Super Space Robot. This episode was from March of 2022, just 8 months ago now, right around St. Patrick's Day, and I reviewed the content AI platform Jasper. I just gave it another listen, and it all seems quite relevant, so I thought I'd bring it to you again in case you hadn't heard it at that time. I'll have a few updates for you on the other side, so I'll talk to you then. Take it away, March Mark. Over the last several months, I've been experimenting with a few different tools as I've been working on content development for myself and for others. One is the software I'm using to record and edit this podcast. That's Descript, and I'll talk about that in a future episode. Another is an SEO tool, Surfer SEO, that I wish I'd had back when I was working with content in the corporate world. It's also about 1/100 of the cost of that enterprise tool that we never really used because it was kind of complicated. The third tool that I've been working with promises to put all of us writers and creators out of a job within the next several years. That's not exactly true, but I've got a story to tell you anyway. Let's jump into my time machine, go back in time to a content marketing conference I attended back in 2018. A lot of the sessions at that event were about different AI and machine learning tools that were going to revolutionize content marketing. One of the proclamations at that event was that AI was going to send marketing departments into upheaval and that, quote, lower level positions, like writing jobs, were going to be a thing of the past. The robots would just handle it, man. After all, they were already writing things like sports articles, weather reports, and delivering basic fact-based news stories. What could we do about it? It seems inevitable, right? Well, in order to adjust, we needed to rethink the roles and tasks that were found in the marketing department. That's what they said at that conference. Now, we're almost 4 years out from that conference, and I don't intend to mock anything that was said there, because I think that's probably all coming to pass, albeit a little slower than expected. And I was all in on that message too. There have certainly been things that have sent marketing teams into disarray, just not quite AI yet. A global pandemic usually sits atop of that list. To this point, the promise of artificial intelligence in marketing and content hasn't quite been fulfilled. Or has it, and we just haven't been paying attention. Let's move forward to the summer of 2021. I had left my job earlier in the year and had gone through a couple of different possibilities on how I was going to earn an income going forward. I was looking around at stuff, trying new things. I mean, like really a lot of new things. I was actually going to make and sell physical products that I made myself on the internet before I decided that should probably be left to hobby status. One day I saw a YouTube video from a guy who does a lot of entrepreneur type stuff online. Now, I'm not going to call him out or say his name because I think he's mostly an honest and a good person, but he's a salesman and a pretty good one at that. And I usually have my defenses up pretty high for messages like his. On this particular thing, he reeled me in. He had been invited to test out a fairly new platform that used AI to write content. And he reported that it was actually, to his surprise, pretty good. He'd made his millions writing blog posts and sales pages and all kinds of expert converting copy. This AI system was giving him a run for his money in certain areas. He seemed genuinely surprised about it, so I thought I'd check it out. I signed up for the free webinar, fully knowing I'd never get off his email list. I literally got another email from him about 2 minutes ago, but I signed up and watched the webinar where he and a guy from this tech company, which is now called Jasper, by the way, went through use cases and examples of building content from blog posts to meta descriptions to Facebook and Instagram copy by just putting in some bullet points and some information about the topic, telling the system what tone to use, then watching as it delivered several different options of copy that you could use. To my surprise, they were pretty decent. A couple of the times the system hiccuped and delivered something that wasn't right, but most of the time it came back pretty good. And at the end, they had an offer to sign up and get a free month. I never sign up for these things, but I signed up and I used it a little bit here and there. I had the low-end subscription that didn't let you do any long-form content like full blog posts, but it did let you write a paragraph or two. And it had different templates and recipes that you could use to get started. You could also use it for ad copy, product descriptions, any kind of writing that would show up on the internet they seemingly had a template for. And frankly, the results were mixed, and I didn't find it that useful. But like every other subscription I have, I of course forgot to cancel it, continued to pay for it for about 3 more months. At that point, I actually decided I'd work on a podcast review of the product with the theme that AI and content marketing just wasn't ready for prime time yet. I never got that done, but in early December, I finally remembered to cancel. When I did so, I got the confirmation along with the message that I still had 10 days left on my subscription and around 10,000 words that I could use before it was over. So I started playing with it again. Something happened over those couple of months where I had kind of forgotten about it. It seemed to have gotten a lot better. Either that or I had learned to give it better inputs and achieve better results. No matter what it was, I started to find it useful. The copy I requested started coming back mostly right, with very little to change. The writing style got better, to where it basically sounded like a person, and a pretty smart person at that. Was it perfect? No. I found that the better I was up front with providing a good starting point, clarity in my points, the right keywords, and a point of view, all stuff that you can quickly feed into the system through their recipes, the better the output was. So I started doing it. Not for any client work or for pillar content that I was creating for myself. I did all that myself, as always. But for random things here and there that I just needed quick text for. I was pretty impressed. The system was slightly limited, except they did have this higher tier nicknamed Boss Mode that let you do all the things I really wanted to do, like putting in long form content and having it generate documents versus short paragraphs and sentences. So I reversed that cancellation. Not only did I reverse it, I ended up upgrading to Boss Mode. They got me. But then came the real fun. Now, I used to work in the business travel world, and I've got a library of old content that is no longer published either by my former employer or by me. There's no need for it. Much of it's out of date, but I've got it in a file that I just saved. So I decided to try rewriting one of those old blog posts. Just an experiment. Didn't have any use for it, but just thought I'd try it with that. It was a good test. I fed it the old info, paragraph by paragraph. The system's got a rewrite button. What happens when you press that button? It rewrites it. Pretty obvious, right? Sometimes it had to give me a couple options before it got it right. Or sometimes I'd take something from option one, combine it with option two to get the right paragraph together. But in about 15 minutes, I had rewritten and revised an obsolete 3-year-old blog post into something that was new. And if I had a business travel blog right now that I could publish, I don't. So it's just in my file. But not only did it have that same information, but I also added a few points as headings in the document to bring some new information in. For instance, what's the biggest thing to impact travel in the 3 years since that post was written? You know, pandemic. So I asked the system to add a section on travel related to the pandemic. To my surprise, it got it right on the first try. Just like that, I had a pretty up-to-date blog post about a business travel topic. It was a good experiment. I talk a lot about repurposing, refreshing, and optimizing older, outdated content. The Content Undead episode from last Halloween, that was about that. Jasper could come in really handy if you had a stack of old blog posts that needed to be brought back to life really quickly. Are there some questions or drawbacks that I have about the platform? Of course. First of all, the question of where the platform actually gets all this information is one. The short answer to that is it comes from an open source AI system called the GPT-3 project, which is a system for AI text that mimics human language. GPT-3 took a large percentage of the internet and internalized that as its data source and did all of its fancy AI stuff to come up with a system that basically outputs text that sounds like a person. Then the Jasper system sits on top of that, and I don't know really how it works, but in my mind, it overlays these workflows and recipes and templates that help you to get the most out of what that text provides. Beyond that, I don't know. It's a little creepy how well it works sometimes. A few times I noticed that it would pull in proper names or product brand names, but they weren't real brand names. When I did a Google search on those names, it came back with nothing, meaning that it obviously took that from somewhere on the web, completely rewrote it from whatever its original form was. It was making up rewritten and alternate product and service names based on existing products and services. A little weird. And you have to be careful with the data the system pulls in. You've got to fact check everything before you publish. So that adds an extra step, but you're saving steps up front. So it's either a wash or you're a little bit ahead. The other thing is, like with most systems, there's a bit of a learning curve. I didn't get it right the first several times I used the system, which is why I kind of dropped it for a few months. As time went on, I believe that the system got better, and so did I. I started to have a feel for what inputs to give it in order to get the best outputs. So if you need content right away, you might not want to go out and fire your copywriters quite yet. Please don't do that. We need good human employed writers still. So what's the application for this? Mostly, it's still for the simple stuff. Now, they purport to let you be able to write whole blogs. It kind of works. I've tried it. It's not perfect. Your social media captions and descriptions, your product descriptions, your metadata, sales page copy, website copy, short stuff, easy stuff to create. It can also be for more traditional content. So you think about feeding the tool an outline and having it fill in the gaps for you. And then you go in through and rewrite and edit the gaps. It actually can also help you create an outline, getting your main info and then going out and finding sections based on internet data and keywords. It can also help you with content topics. Like you can put in your general information and it will give you a list of content ideas, things you can write about. It's pretty cool. It's a good tool for brainstorming and coming up with ideas as you're putting your content calendar together. And there's still some manual brain power and creativity needed to give it your point of view and your writing style. But the system can do the grunt work. And I think about it like this, like a carpenter using a power drill or a farmer using a tractor. And incidentally, tractor technology is getting better all the time and AI is slowly creeping into the tractor cab as well. But you still need that expert in the cab or operating the drill. Maybe one day you won't, but right now you still do. Same goes for this. Jasper and the other services like it, and there are others, it's a content writing power tool. That's kind of the way I see it. As I said, there are several of these tools out there now, and I've only used one so far. Maybe there are better ones out there. I really don't know. All I know is that in a matter of months, I went from a skeptic to not quite a believer, but someone who can see promise in the platform. All right. Current time mark here again. One note I should add is that I have stopped using the Jasper platform since the time of that recording. I just hadn't quite found enough application for it to justify the cost, but I continue to think there's a place for AI as a power tool in our content toolbox. As I get time in the coming months, there are other platforms that use AI that I want to experiment with. As soon as I use them, I'll bring you some updates and opinions. Since this is a content show that's inspired by rock and roll, I've got to close out with some rock and roll. This episode's inspiration is much more general and not really connected in any way to Jasper or content AI. But in my travels this past week, I had the chance to see Peter Frampton in concert at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Now, Frampton has never been among my favorite artists, but I've always respected him as a guitarist and a musician, and he did put on an amazing show. I guess his use of the talk box, which is an electronic device that allows the user to speak or sing through their guitar's pickups. If you've heard any of his music, you know what I'm talking about. Does make him sound like a robot, so I guess there's your AI connection. Rather tenuous one, but we take inspiration where we can. It was a really cool experience, and as a rock and roll fan, the Royal Albert Hall is one of the legendary concert venues that I've always wanted to visit. And truthfully, the chance to see the venue and sit in one of the fancy boxes that go around the outside of the hall was the main reason I actually bought the tickets, but it was really cool. I really enjoyed my experience. So in the show notes, I've linked to two great Frampton-related albums. The first is his legendary live album that kind of put him on the map and sent him to stardom, Frampton Comes Alive. The second one is Humble Pie's 1971 live album, Rockin' the Fillmore, which featured Frampton on lead guitar. Frampton did two Humble Pie tunes during the show I just saw in London, 4-Day Creep and I Don't Need No Doctor, in the encore of the show. So have a listen to some Frampton and some Humble Pie and enjoy. We've got the Thanksgiving holiday next week, and I'll be finishing up my travels, but probably won't get an episode to you then. We'll get on a regular schedule the week after. So if you are in the United States and celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you on the other side. Questions, comments, anything else you want to talk about? podcast@rockcontent.show is the email address. You can also visit the website at rockcontent.show. Thanks for listening. See you next time.